Good morning, everyone. It's good to see you this morning as we join together for worship here in God's house. You're very, very welcome with us, and it's good to have this time together. And just before we begin our time of worship this morning, I want to draw your attention to some of the announcements there. To remind you that after church today, there's a cup of tea, a cup of coffee. Please do stick around. Let's enjoy a time of fellowship together. And then also to remind you of our Bible study this evening. And that meets here at 7:30. It's a really, really informal time where we read the scriptures together and we discuss and we encourage each other. And it's a really wonderful time of worship spent together. And this evening we'll be reading from Luke chapter 19, verse 11, beginning at verse 11 and reading the parable of the 10 minas. So not 10 miners, as somebody thought I said to them the other day, but 10 minas. Okay, so please do have a read at that and join us this evening. Our usual activities take place this week for our GB, Parents and Toddlers and Boys Brigade. This Thursday evening, however, the Boys Brigade is a slightly different flavour, where it is our annual Parents' Evening. Now, space is limited, and a ticket's needed to attend, but you will be very welcome, because there are still tickets available from Lorraine. So speak to Lorraine or Rodney, and they can sort you out with a ticket for that. Also, from today, you can look at our various church and organisational accounts in a folder in the church entrance. These are part of our published accounts, and they provide us some insights into how various funds and gifts and monies and so on have been used and spent over this past year in the church. So, and if you have any questions, Alec will be very happy to answer them. And then to remind the congregational committee that not this Wednesday but the Wednesday after, we have a very special meeting that evening where an architect will be coming to review the outline drawings that have been proposed to us for some extension work and some building work here in the church. That's an important evening, so make sure that you can, if you're on congregational committee, be with us that night. And then just also to say, I'm always blown away but not surprised by your generosity and your kindness and your goodness. Because I know so many of your heart, you're a generous people. And our recent appeal for the families who were affected by the earthquakes in Syria and Turkey raised £2,312.50. Guys, that is fantastic. And will go a long way, I'm sure, to helping the relief efforts there in Turkey and in Syria. So thank you for your generosity and for your goodness and for your heart. Also then, just let me draw attention to our Holy Week services. There's some of these flyers are out they're on the seats. There you go. That's good. So our Holy Week services this year will begin on the 4th of April, that's Tuesday evening, and they'll be held up in the Villa Presbyterian Church with our brothers and sisters up there. And our speaker for the week is the Reverend John Woodside. Anybody who's ever heard John Woodside speak before will know how tremendous a blessing this man's ministry is, and how fantastic a preacher he is. He's the sort of guy that preachers listen to, you know, to get ideas and be blown away by. And so I encourage you all to join with us for, even if it's only one or two of those evenings that week, from the Tuesday to the Friday, join together with our brothers and sisters from the town in the Villa Presbyterian for our Holy Week services. These are the announcements. Let's join in prayer. Gracious God, your word reminds us that we are to do this. Join together in worship. Be together, Lord God, to make a point of doing this, to not give up doing this, to do this, Lord God, with gladness in our hearts. So God, as we join together in worship this morning, We pray that you lead us and help us, guide us in all things, for we ask this in your holy and precious name. Amen. Well, let's welcome one another to church this morning. We're going to stand together and worship God as we sing, Blessed Be Your Name. And as we finish singing this one, remain standing as we join together and sing the hymn as well, The Lion of Judah. Let's stand and worship God. Good to be in your presence. It is good to sing praise unto your holy name. It is good, Lord God, to lift our eyes away from this world and lift them towards you. It is good, Father God, to spend this time gathered together in fellowship. Lord God, building our friendships with one another, building our trust and our reliance and our care on one another here in this place. And Lord God, being able to know that every time we do this, when we meet together, God, we meet with you. What a privilege. What an honor. What a blessing it is, God. And Lord, as we come to church, we all come to church bringing with us the burdens, the things, God, that lay our hearts heavy. The things, Lord God, which bring us down, which lower our mood. The things that we struggle with, God. Lord, when we come before you, we are confronted with our own sinfulness. God, your goodness and your light, your blessing, Lord, it shines a light upon our lives, into those dark areas of our lives. And Father God, we have to bow our heads. We have to be as the sinner. We have to be like the tax collector in the temple. And come before you and honestly say, Lord, forgive us, a sinner. So Lord, we ask that this morning you do a work in us. Do a work in our hearts, God. As we come to you, as we open ourselves up, Lord God, cleanse us. Help us. Help us to be honest. Help us, Lord, not to try to hold things back, hide things from you, for we can't do that. Help us, God, indeed, in this time as we are gathered together to glorify and honor you. We ask you, Lord, to forgive us. Holy Spirit, we thank you that you're moving here this morning. We thank you, God, that we can already hear you and see you, Lord God, in our praises. That we can hear you and feel you and see you, Lord God, as we pray, as our heads are bowed together. And God, as we continue today, we know that you are going to lead us, help us, that you're going to show us and reveal things to us, Lord God, that will be so relevant to our hearts, so relevant because it is you speaking to us directly, giving us what we need. So God, help us then to look to you with all sureness this morning, with complete confidence, God, that when we are prompted, Lord, it is you who will be prompting us. You, Lord God. God, help us to be a people who grow in you, who desire to grow. And Lord, may this day, this time we spend together today, be a time of growth for us all. Lord, we ask these things in your holy and precious name. Amen. Oh, we have any birthdays this morning? Any this week? No? Matthew's poking Natalie? No? No? Okay, you're just poking her to annoy her. Okay, sorry. I used to do that to my sister in church as well. Sorry. Well, today is Mother's Day, which is a lovely day. and a special day. Any mothers get any breakfast in bed or anything this morning? There's some cracking kids looking very sheepish down the front here. He made you your breakfast. That's lovely. What'd you make, Dad? A nice finger with butter. A nice finger with butter. That is just gloriously. That is total culture. That is lovely. I love that. I love it. No, I know. I have one in my family now. My daughter-in-law. Sorry. Anyway, it's lovely to be treated and to be pampered and to have this day given over to our mothers. And what's a wonderful thing. But, you know, I sort of think as well that whenever we're gathered together as a church, we're a covenant community. It's something that's very, very special and very important to a Presbyterian church, is that we believe that, and when we make promises and in baptisms or in thanksgivings, whatever it is, that we, the covenant community, have also a shared responsibility with the parents, with the family, to make sure that their children are raised, that they come to know Jesus, that they come to be part of a church family where they feel completely valued and completely one. And I do understand and I recognize that we're not just a church of mothers from certain families. We are a church full of mothers. So we are. And I love that. And as kind of proud parents that we all are of the kids who come through this church, it's wonderful whenever we see some of our own going on in ministry and doing something beyond this place. I was just talking to Francine last week, and we were talking about the numbers of people from our wee church that are going on in ministry in the Presbyterian Church in Ireland. You know, the ratio is massive compared to many other places, and it's maybe something that we just take for granted now. Oh, we train them up and send them out. But it's a really wonderful thing, and it's part of the fact that you guys get being a covenant community. Whether you would use those words or not, you understand what it means, and you do it. And I'm so proud of that. I'm so pleased that that is the case here in this church. One of our young ones, who is not here today, but she sent us a video, is going off to do something very, very exciting next year. And we're going to watch a video now from Leah, who's going to tell us a little bit about what she's going to be up to in the next year. And then she has a wee favour to ask. Okay, so hopefully the video will appear at some point.
Hello, I miss you so a lot. So I just made this video to kind of tell you guys what I'm doing next year. So for those of you who don't know me, I'm Leah, and I'm currently studying Italian and Spanish at Cardiff University. So next year I have to do a year abroad, and as part of my degree, and I had the freedom of choosing whatever I wanted to do, as long as it was language related. So that could have been studying or working. Yeah, I was quite keen to see if I could use next year to serve God and use the gift of languages that He has given me and kind of help build His kingdom. So yeah, praise God. I did find a placement through an organisation called Crosslink, and I will be going out to work as a church intern and take part in studying in a Bible college course. So for the Spanish side of my degree, I have been placed in Argentina for 5 months to work with the Walker family in El Señor de la Viña, which is a small church in Mendoza, which is kind of on the border of Chile, on the west side of Argentina, surrounded by the Andes. I've also been told it's the wine country of Argentina, so yeah, I'm sure it's very beautiful. So yeah, this is it's a very small, newly established church. So I have been told I could be getting involved in absolutely anything, from children and youth work to community outreach and evangelism. I think it's going to be very challenging being so far away from home, and the accent in Argentina is not great, so it will be challenging for my Spanish as well, but I'm really excited to see what I'll learn, and really believe that God has placed me there for a reason. The second half of my year will be spent in Italy in a church called Porte Torre in Bologna, with JP and Sue Arenzula. My work will kind of be similar to that in Argentina, but I think I'll be mostly focusing on youth work and student outreach. I'll also have the opportunity there to take part in their Bible college scheme, so that's really exciting. But yeah, I'm really excited for this upcoming year, and yeah, just to learn more about God and to learn a bit more about why he's given me the gift of languages and how I can use them to serve him. So yeah, I would just really love to ask for your prayer in, like, as I prepare and as I plan and sort out all the logistics side of the next year. I just pray, yeah, prayer for that it'll run smoothly and the process won't be too stressful. And I think as well for my language abilities, motivation to study hard now so that I can serve well next year would be great. I also just ask that you pray for both churches and their current mission to spread the gospel in Argentina and Italy. As well as prayer, my mission is mostly self-funded, so I would love to ask for some financial support. To raise money for my year abroad, I am hosting a coffee morning in Skravo on the 1st of April from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. and I would love to invite all of you guys and your friends and your family. Just to tell you guys a bit more about what I'm doing and just to spend time with you. So just a little favour to ask as well. I know Skravo are really good at baking, so I would really love if anyone was kind enough and would want to help bake for the coffee morning, I would be so grateful. So yeah, if you have my details, send me a message or send my parents a message. I know a lot of you are still in contact with them and I'm sure they would love to hear from you guys. I'm looking forward to seeing everyone soon and I'm praying for you all. Bye.
Awesome. So let me get all of that information there. So Leah's going away for a year, 5 months in Argentina and the rest of the time in Italy, serving God, using the gifts that she has been given in languages to do that. So 1st of April, Saturday the 1st of April, coffee morning in here, 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. And Leah did ask you if any of you would like to bake for that. She'd be very, very grateful. And if you're here this morning, you're thinking, I don't have contact for Leah and a white Wallace and James numbers off their phone when they went to Mavilla or something like that, I don't know. Then Charlotte is. I've told you this already. Charlotte is willing to take names and so on this morning of people who are able to commit to bake for Leah for Saturday the 1st of April. And then just to encourage us all, whether you can bake or not, all of us can eat. And all of us, I've seen you eating buns and you're good at it. So come along and support Leah that morning in what should be a really lovely time of fellowship and praise together. Let's join together then and pray for Leah and her work. Let's pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks for Leah. We thank you, Lord God, for the many years that she spent in this church growing. And Father God, that we have that pleasure now as her church family, as her covenant family. Lord, to see her go out into the world, to see her, Father God, use the gifts that you have given to her to reach others with the good news of the gospel. And I pray, God, that as Leah prepares for this next year ahead, Lord, that you do help her to study well. You help her, Lord God, to get the head down, to hit the books. But, Lord God, to do so not out of a feeling of obligation, Lord God, or not to be dreading it, but instead, Lord, being excited, God, of what you might do with her. Lord, we thank you for the example of someone like Leah to all of us. And we pray, God, that there may be some of us, the younger ones here today, who see what Leah's doing and can see, God, that there are wonderful opportunities in you and through you. So, God, be inspiration. Bless them, God. Holy Spirit, just light a fire in their hearts as they hear about these wonderful things that we can do, Lord, connecting with people all around the world in your name. God, bless us and be with us in your name. Amen. When Leah goes to Argentina and to Italy, she will be lifting the name of the Lord on high. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Isn't that an amazing thing to think of a wee girl from Newton Arts going out to do that in these places all around the world? That's what we are praying she's able to do, having health and strength to do that. And we're going to do that now as we stand together and sing, Lord, I lift your name on high. That's my roadie. Okay, boys and girls. Well done. Good job. Thank you. Thank you. It's okay. Don't worry about the music. The next one's an unaccompanied psalm anyway. So, he's our laughter. Who do you see? Let's join our hearts together in prayer for others. Let's pray. Lord, we do want to give you thanks this morning, and thanks for our covenant family here. We give you thanks, Lord God, that in this time we can pray for one another. And God, as we pray this morning, our thoughts do turn to our mothers. And we give you thanks, Lord God, for the incredible examples of motherhood that we have seen in our lives, that we have experienced and that we have been blessed by. And the incredible examples of motherhood that we see, God, in our church family each and every day. Lord, thank you. Thank you for blessing us with our mothers. Lord, we acknowledge and we recognize that today is a day of thanksgiving and a day for spending time together. But God, we also acknowledge that today may be a difficult day for some. A day, Lord, where they mourn the loss of a mother. A day, Lord God, where painful memories are brought to light. God, we pray that you bless hearts today that may be downcast. Hearts, Lord God, that may be heavier than usual. Lord God, we pray that you instead bring good memories to mind. Good memories to light, Lord God, of love that has been shared, of care that has been given, of things that have been taught, Lord God. And Lord, for the legacy of love that exists in homes because of our mothers. God, we also pray for those who may be struggling in a relationship at the moment. A mother may be struggling with her children. Children struggling with their own mother due to behaviours, Lord God, that are out of their control. Lord, we know that this is the case. We know, Lord, that there are arguments, that there are families, Lord, who are at war. Families, God, where there is conflict rather than love. We pray, Father God, for this to cease today. Father God, for healing to be seen amongst these families. Father God, for people to come to know that you are moving, that you are working, that you are the God of all love, and that it is you, Lord God, that has given that greatest gift to us all. Help, Lord God, for that healing process maybe to begin today, for barriers and walls that have been built to be torn down. Father God, for messages of hope and peace and love to be shared, Lord, and for that to become the norm, not the exception. God, we also pray for all of those children today, Lord God, who are without their mothers, Lord, being separated by wars, being separated, Lord God, by so many reasons. And God, who are mourning that today, we pray for those children, Lord. We pray for children in Ukraine this morning. We hear in the news this week, Lord God, about how many of them have been kidnapped. How many of them have been taken away from their families, ripped from their families, Lord God, and taken into Russia. God, these children, they must be so afraid, Father God, because they have been taken away from a mother's love. Lord, be with them this day, God, and work in the hearts and the minds of those who would do such a thing. God, help them to see sense today, Lord God. And for all of these terrible atrocities to end, and God, instead, for your peace to break out there. Lord, again, we give you thanks for who you are. For, Lord, you are the one, the author of love. You are the maker of all love. And we pray, God, that we can look to you then in all love this day and know these things and be sure of them in your name. Amen. Going to read together from the scriptures. Going to read from 2 Peter. We're still in chapter 1. We're reading from verse 12 down to 15 this morning. So a really long reading this morning compared to what we usually have been doing at the moment. But 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning at verse 12, reading down to verse 15. Well, this is the word of God. So I will always remind you of these things, even though you know them and are firmly established in the truth you now have. I think it's right to refresh your memory as long as I live in the tent of this body, because I know that I will soon put it aside, as our Lord Jesus Christ has made clear to me. And I will make every effort to see that after my departure, you will always be able to remember these things. Amen. We're going to worship God again in song, and we really are going to sing a psalm together. And we're going to stand together and we're going to sing Psalm 8. Now, this is something that, believe it or not, we've been building up to for the last month and a bit, and we've been singing psalms pretty much every week, or certainly hymns that are based heavily on psalms. But this morning is us an opportunity for us to sing a psalm together. And how we're going to do this is to the tune of Come People of the Risen King. You know that one? Come People of the Risen King. Yep. And how we're going to do this morning is this. This is, I can't believe I'm doing this. We're going to stand together, and I'm going to sing the first verse, and you're going to sing the second verse. Okay? And we're going to do that as we go through. So every time the slide changes, that's a cue for people, for you guys to sing or for me to sing, okay? So let's stand together and worship God.
In all the earth, O Lord our God, how glorious is your name. For you have set above the heavens your glory and your fame. From infants and from children's lips, you ordered praise to sound. to silence all your enemies, the wicked to confound. When I regard the hands you make, your fingers work, I trace. I see the moon and shining stars, which you have set in place. I ask myself, what then is man that you should give him thought? The Son of Man, that you to him such gracious care have bought. You made him little less than those who dwell in heaven above, and you crowned him and you honored him with glory and with love. You gave him charge of all the works created by your hand, and everything that you had made, you gave him to command. All flocks and herds and birds and fish, all beasts both wild and tame, in all the earth, O Lord our God, how glorious is your name. Let's repeat that. All flocks and herds and birds and fish, all beasts both wild and tame, in all the earth, O Lord our God, how glorious is your name. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. Let's join our hearts in prayer. Gracious God, we are so thankful that today we can sing of how majestic your name is in all the earth. And Lord God, we can remember that even though we are sinful creatures, God, you have placed us in this place to have dominion over the earth. You gave that to us. And God, you bless us. Father, as we now join around your word, we pray, God, that you help us to understand. Help us to see you clearly and hear you clearly this morning. For we ask all of these things in and through your Son's holy and precious name. Amen. How are you at sharing the gospel? Are you good at it? Is it something that you can do naturally? I mean, we're all here this morning listening, about to listen to a gospel message, and we've been hearing and we've been singing about how God has been blessing us. We're really invested in this gospel message, aren't we? As an evangelical Presbyterian church, we are invested in the message of Christ Jesus, the good news of the gospel. So how are you at sharing it? Are you good at it? Do you share it at all? Is it something that you have a degree of urgency about? Is it something that you think, well, actually, you know what I must do this week? I must share the message of Jesus with someone. You know, if we were to do a to-do list right now, and this is all of us, including me here, sharing the gospel message of Jesus probably would be fairly far down it. It would come after the shopping and making the dinner and work and all of those other bits and pieces that come into our lives and every day. When it comes to sharing the gospel, there's often not a sense of urgency from us, even though we know that the gospel message is good news for all mankind. That the gospel of Jesus Christ is essential news for everyone in our world. Still, we can find ourselves lacking. Find ourselves not doing what we should and sharing that message. It's not an easy thing. I would never, ever suggest to you that just going up and walking up to someone and sharing the gospel message of Jesus is something that's just dead simple. You know, we are worried about how people will react. Worried that we might get a cross word from someone. Worried that we might put people off us so much that they'll never speak to us ever again.
worried that if we share the message that we might actually say something wrong. And not be sharing the message of Jesus at all, but saying something completely, completely wrong. As we read this passage from 2 Peter this morning, we do so after him having told us about the qualities of discipleship, told us that we need to be increasing in these things each and every week. And that's good, and that's been important for us. That's been something which has been really helpful, but you know, it's only helpful if we put it into practice and we use it. And what I get from the passage this morning is Peter had a motivation. Peter had a motivation to not just sit on the things that he knew and the things that he had heard, but to actually share it. To actually do the work of the evangelist and to share it out. And I reckon that his motivation, as he actually states this morning, comes from a very, very well-known place. John chapter 21, reading from verse 15. Peter has denied Christ. He has done what he said that he would never do. He's denied him. And Jesus has died, has risen again. And he's appearing to the disciples on the shore of the Sea of Galilee. They have been kind of lost as to what they should do. So they've actually gone back to what they know. They've gone back to fishing. You know, they've kind of had that thing. It's like, well, what do we do now? Well, we may as well go back to work. And that's what they're doing. And Jesus appeared to them on the side of the Sea of Galilee. And Peter is so overwhelmed with emotion and excitement and love that he jumps out of the boat and he swims to the Lord's side. And it's a really powerful image. A powerful image of someone being excited by Christ. Even someone who had denied him and so seriously fallen in terms of his relationship with Jesus. But Jesus says these wonderful, wonderful things. In chapter 21 of John's Gospel, from verse 15, we read, when they'd finished eating, he said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" And he said, "Yes, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" "Yes, Lord, you know I love you." He said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And Peter was hurt because Jesus had asked him a third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep. Very truly I tell you," and this is the important bit for us here this day, "very truly I tell you, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and you went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and they will lead you where you do not want to go." Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. And then he said to him, "Follow me." This exchange between Jesus and Peter is amazing. It's really wonderful. It's very emotive. It shows the depth of care and love that Jesus had for Peter. The importance of Peter being restored before Jesus' forthcoming ascension. And in asking Peter three times if he loved him, Jesus was able in those answers to give Peter important instructions. And these are important instructions that we need to hear this morning. If we are those who say we love Jesus, these are instructions that we need to hear today. If we say we follow Jesus, we desire for others to know about him, well, these questions are for you too. Jesus asks him, "Do you love me?" And he says, "Yes, you know I do," three times. He says, "Feed my lambs, take care of my sheep, and feed my sheep." And they're a commission. These instructions from Christ serve as a direction to Peter. a direction for the rest of his life. This is what his life will be devoted to and what it will be going forward. You know, they're not all, though, of what Jesus says to Peter. You see, Jesus could say these things to Peter and Peter could go, right, okay, next year, after I've done a wee bit of work and I've put aside a wee bit of a nest egg, then I'll start to take care of the sheep. Then I'll start to take care of the lambs. Then I'll start to feed the sheep. He could say, well, this time period that Jesus is putting on this here for me, it's kind of open-ended, so I'm kind of just going to sit, relax for a wee bit, learn more, and then I'm going to do it. Now, you see, Jesus says, nah, this is imperative that you do this. Because he tells Peter, Peter, you're going to die. He makes no bones about it. He tells Peter, you're going to die. Now, he doesn't tell Peter when it is. He doesn't say to him it's next week or the week after or the next month or next year. But he tells him in no uncertain terms that he will die. There's many times that people have read this passage of Scripture, and maybe this is just me. When Jesus says to Peter, you'll stretch out your hands and somebody else will dress you and lead you where you don't want to go. And I think of those old folk in the old people's homes. And that's what Jesus is talking about. But he's not talking about that. That's not what Jesus is saying here. What Jesus is saying is somebody will dress you in the clothes that they want you to wear. And they will lead you to a place where you don't want to go. You will be dressed for death. You'll be by centurions, by Romans, by authorities, Jewish authorities, whoever it may well be. The reality of the situation is this. Jesus tells Peter, you're going to have a pretty grisly end. You won't choose your death. You won't choose when it is going to be that you're going to pass away. It will be chosen for you. And the manner of your death will be something that you really don't want. And when Jesus does that, he gives Peter an imperative that he must spend his life doing what Jesus has told him to do. Feeding the sheep, feeding the lambs, taking care of the sheep. We see Peter then in the likes of Acts chapter 4, where he stands in front of the Sanhedrin. I imagine that as he stood in front of the Sanhedrin, he will have known that they would have had the power to go to the Roman authorities and say, we charge this guy. We charge him because he is a usurper. He's making trouble. That's what they brought Peter and James in front of the Sanhedrin in the first place with, those sorts of charges. Peter and John, excuse me. That's what they were brought there. They could have been put to death. At that time, that could have been it for them. But what does Peter say? He says, as for us, we can't stop talking about Jesus. And they really wanted him to stop talking about Jesus. The authorities really wanted him to stop. But he said, even though he knew that this could be a time when he would be led to his death, I can't stop talking about him. I can't stop telling people about Jesus. I can't stop telling people about what he has done. As Peter writes this letter, he writes this letter under this cloud, if you like. Under this cloud and under this understanding of knowing that his time could well be up. That his time could be coming to an end. That's why he writes such a thing. As he said, I think it's right to refresh your memory as long as I live in this tent of the body, because I know that I will soon put it aside, as our Lord Jesus Christ has made clear to me. He spends his time then telling people about Jesus, because that's what Jesus has told him to do. Telling people about the good news of the gospel. And all through what we have been looking at with Peter over this last 6 months or more, has been shot through with this instruction from Christ. What he has been doing in telling us and in teaching us and in showing us how we should live as believers in Christ is coming from that place of reminding us, of helping us know and helping us understand. Peter preaches as a dying man. He speaks as a dying man. He writes as a dying man. It's a powerful place to do something out of, to do something from. He speaks as one who wants to ensure that the important things are said and shared before he leaves what he says is the tent of his body. That's a powerful image, isn't it? It's one that we can really identify with. You know, there's so many occasions in history where the exploits of one who is facing certain death have entered into cultural folklore due to the manner of this heroic deed. We all love a heroic death, believe it or not. Think about our films. Think about Bruce Willis on the asteroid in Armageddon, making a sacrifice so that all the world would be able to not be destroyed by the asteroid. Or Captain Miller, mortally wounded on the bridge with one gun in Saving Private Ryan, facing the Germans by himself, knowing that he was going to his death. Love a heroic death in a movie. Love a heroic death in our culture. These kind of ends, they do leave us mourning, yet being glad that a hero was there to give it up for the benefit of others. Peter will have known the best example of that, of course, not being Jesus. He'll have known that in spite of being God himself, that he came into this creation, emptied himself to die on a cross for the likes of you and me. Peter will have known that well. And that love and that devotion will have been a driver for at times that will have been tough. Driver, though, for the times when he was tired, when he was in danger. Time for when people would just not listen. Time when the world tried to conspire to stop the message of God spreading. Peter had driven on, even in these times of difficulty, because his time is short. That's a challenge, isn't it? Peter's challenge to us today is to ask that question of how are we sharing? How are we sharing? What sort of mindset do we have as a church in sharing the gospel? Do we think about it as being something that's imperative that we do right now? Are we thinking about it as something that we can put on the long finger? Are we starting to think about things in the wrong way? Do we hear about building projects and think, when we do that, when we get all that there sorted out, sure, then we can reach out with the gospel. Let me just say this before we get into any building stuff in this church. That's totally the wrong way around. That's the reverse. We share the gospel first. We share the gospel now. We share the gospel whether this is a building site or not. Not waiting until the building's open and then do it. Our imperative is sharing the gospel. Peter shows us that is our imperative. I have a confession to make. You like confessions, don't you? It's a wee bit Roman, isn't it? I don't like street preachers. That's my confession this morning. I am put off by street preachers. I know that they are faithful brothers and sisters in the Lord, but I do wonder if anyone ever listens to them and decides to follow Christ. But you know, there's something about them that I'm actually envious of. something that so often shines a light on me, and that is that personal lack of activity in sharing the gospel. Too often, we are content for others to do it, aren't we? Too often, we're content to pretend that we're playing the long game. We're really just building relationships before we share the gospel. But all the while, we just fail time and time again to take opportunities to share. I know I'm not alone in this. If we were to do a straw poll of the congregation right now and ask everyone who has taken the opportunities that they have had to share the gospel every single time, I would be really surprised if any of you raised your hands. I would be overjoyed and would write a hymn about you. Maybe have a day. But I tell you now, I know none of you have raised your hand because we all have failed in this. Now, don't beat yourself up too much. God doesn't ask us to serve him out of guilt or shame. Instead, he desires a people who serve him out of the riches of his gospel truth. The gospel truth that says, Christ died for your sins. Christ loves you. You know, Peter not have just had that imperative that Jesus gave him when they were sitting around that campfire at the side of the Sea of Galilee. He will also have heard other things that Jesus said, you know, things that we know well as well. Passages like Matthew chapter 28, 19 and 20, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. That is our instruction. That is what God has told us to do. Go and make disciples of all nations. Isn't it amazing to think this morning that we've heard of Leah going and doing her part to make disciples in Argentina and in Italy? Isn't that wonderful this morning? Isn't it great that God asks us to do it in this place too? Now, we are to make disciples of people in the place where he has put us. God has put this church in the heart of this estate to be a mission center, to be mission control, to go from this place and not just go home and blindly think about the rest of our week until we get the next Sunday morning again and we go and the alarm goes off and we go, will I go or will I not? Will I go? Will I not? Will I go? I won't. Oh, I will. You know, whatever it is, that's not what we're here to do. This is mission control. This is our mission center. We're to go from this place. We're to go out into the world and make disciples. That's what God asks us to do. That's what Peter has been instructing us in. To have the qualities of discipleship so that we're better. So that we're good at this. Then you might be saying, okay, Aaron, this is well and good. This is fine. How do you do it? I want to spend this last couple of minutes just giving you a wee bit of advice on how we can share the gospel message of Jesus. And I do it in four steps, but they're dead easy to remember. The first thing we need to do is we need to tell people about God. The world has loads of ideas of who God is. You'll hear all types of things coming from people about who God is. He's a big dude in the clouds with a beard and sandals, you know. Or, oh, God is all around me and he's in every religion all around the world, you know. Or the thing you most find is God is some sort of benevolent dictator who just goes swipe and wipes everything out and does terrible things and gives cancer to children. You know, we know who God is, don't we? Do you know who God is? God is creator. God is the maker of everything. God is more powerful than you and I could ever imagine. God has made all of this. God has made our world. And God is, and this is so important, God is perfect. God is perfect. You know, there's nothing else in this world that is perfect, only God. So we got to start there. We start with explaining to people who God actually is. And then we talk about man. And what do we know about man? Is man good? No. We know that man is not good. What happened is this: God made man to be in perfect union with him. Man sinned. God is perfect. He is not sinful. Man is sinful. The relationship between God and man has been separated. That is what we have to tell people. We have to help people understand that. Man is sinful. We have to use that word, sin. And we have to help people understand that sinfulness separates them from God. Then thirdly, we say, but God wasn't happy with that, so he came as Christ. We talk about Jesus. We tell people about Jesus. We tell people that he is God, perfected, that he was the only, is the only person who has ever been perfect. Came as a man into the shell that God created, and he died for our sins. Died for the sins of everyone. Died for the sins of the person that you're standing talking to about this. And then the fourth part. It's the part where people have to respond. We need to encourage people to respond to this. Even if their response is, ah, that's a load of rubbish, I don't need that. Even if their response is to walk away from you thinking that you're mad. We must ask people to respond. Folks, this is how we can share the gospel. Now you go away and you think about it. And you think about it in your context. You think about it in the context of your life. How you can share those things. How you can speak with authority on those things. Talk about God. Talk about the fact that it's a beautiful day. It's a wonderful day. It's a day that has been given to us by God. Talk about science. Talk about the fine balance of how things have been made in this world. How things have been created to be in such an amazing balance. Even the smallest and little minute thing, God is in the midst of all of that. He is all life. He is all science. He's all creation. He's all art. He's everything. God is all. And talk about the fact that it's not God who gets things wrong. It's not God who is evil. It's not God who is kidnapping children in Ukraine. It's not God who's waging wars. It's man. It's man. It's all man. It's all of what we have done. It's all sinfulness. And talk about Christ in your life. Talk about how Jesus has saved you, how he's rescued you, how he's lifted you up out of the pit, how he is majestic in all the earth. And ask people to respond. Ask them, what do you think of this? What do you think about me? What do you think about our church? What do you think? Folks, we've been given an imperative, just like Peter. We have been told to go and share this message. We have been tasked to go and do as Peter, to take care of the sheep, to feed the sheep, to look after the lambs. We have been told to do this. It's not good enough for us just to sit and wait for somebody else to do it. It's there for you. So let's pray for the Holy Spirit to help us in all these things. Let's pray. God, we thank you that you gave us your gospel message and your gospel truth so that we can share it, so that we can know you, so that we can, Lord God, go into all the world and make disciples, for that's what you want. Lord, I pray that you help us to do this. Help us to do it in the best way possible. God, help us to tell people about you. Help us, Lord God, to be a part of that, telling people about their sin. And as you, Lord God, make a move and convict people of the sinfulness in their lives, may they respond to you, God, by looking to you and by giving their hearts and their lives and their souls to you, God. We know there are so many who need your gospel truth today. So many, God, who are walking in darkness. So many, God, who are broken by sinfulness. Oh, God, we just ask for you to move. Ask for you, God, to just pour your Spirit out upon our state. Pour your Spirit out, Lord God, upon families here. Lord, go street by street, convicting people, Lord God, having them look, Lord, to you, having them, God, seek you. Oh, Lord, we just pray for you to move in powerful, powerful ways. Lord, in our families, God, if there's somebody in our families today who we know, Lord, needs to come to you, needs to give their life to you, God, we pray that you give us the right words to say. Help us, God, to show you faithfully to them. God, we pray that you move, and that as you move, God, Lord, that you use us as your hands and feet, as unworthy as we are. Lord, we commit ourselves to this work today. God bless us. We ask these things through your Son's holy and precious name. Amen. Amen. As we continue to worship God, let's bring to him our morning offering. Thankful for all that you give to us. And God, we thank you for what we've been able to bring here this day. And we pray, Lord God, for your strength, for your leading, for your guidance, God, to use what we have brought in the best way. So, Lord, bless our giving in your name. Amen. We're going to stand then and sing our final praise this morning. King of kings, majesty, God of heaven, living in me. Let's stand and raise a song of praise to our God as we sing to his majesty. Let's stand and worship God. join in prayer. Gracious God, as we go from this place, we do indeed live to serve you. So God, help us to be equipped for all the things that we need to do. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with each and every one of us this day and forevermore. And everyone said together, Amen. Amen.